8:09 Canada and 31 Thoughts. 31 Thoughts, the podcast brought to you by the all-new 2018 GMC Terrain. You were not a man of few words. You were always very succinct, including on our show. But in the intermission yesterday, like, you've been in Vegas for what, 2-3 days now. You just could not wrap your head around that you were there. Finally, Kiprios had to kind of smack you a little bit.
Oh yeah, that was 2 days ago. Yeah,
I just can't believe we're here.
You guys are a bit low. If you could be brought up, I would really appreciate that. But you know what? Like, it's still the most amazing thing to me that now it's gone. Like, you know, we've watched a game here, you move on. But
right.
To me, this is the most incredible story of the year. And I'll tell you, it was funny. So they do their introduction last night, and I'm just laughing all the way through it because it's so Vegas, and I think it's fantastic. And then Michael Buffer comes out, and he introduces both teams' starting lineup, and I thought that was awesome. But I was talking to a GM today, and he said that, you know, he was watching it, and he said as a fan of the league and of hockey, he loved it. But if he was a GM of one of the two teams, he's not so sure he would have loved it. Because he thought it made the players even more jumpy and nervy, and he thought it might have had a bit of an effect on the game because it's not something you're used to. You're sitting there and for a bit more time than you used to, and the nerves come even more going, and you're anxious, and you're really ready to go, and Buffer's going through it. And he said that while he loved it, he thinks it contributed to, you know, maybe the sloppiness of the game, because it threw all the routines off at the beginning. But I just got to tell you, Walker, I think this is an incredibly hilarious story, and I don't care about any of those people who are like, okay, Vegas shouldn't win. They're here. They won fair and square. You just have to deal with it. Don't be jealous. Don't be a hater. Be happy for people.
It is it is one of those things too. I'll be honest, I could take or leave the whole night thing, but whatever. You just roll I'm not admonishing it. I'm saying I am the guy that says, "All right, like drop the it's 35 after. Let's go. let's drop the puck." But I'll tell you what, the one thing about Vegas, they have become, and there was a scenario where this wasn't the case. It's become a bucket list event in a bucket list town.
I agree with that. You know, just as a guy who's covered, like I've covered all but one of the last 20 Stanley Cups. And I have never, and I've been at Stanley Cups, obviously in Vancouver, in Calgary, in Edmonton, and Ottawa, amongst other places. I have never had as many people text me and say, "If I can get down there, can you get me a ticket?" as last year in Nashville and this year in Vegas.
Hmm.
And that tells me that people, even hardcore hockey fans, are screaming for different experiences. They are screaming for it. And, you know, it's funny. I don't want to say who the conversation was with yesterday, but I was talking with someone who's heavily involved in the league, and he was saying to me, like, you know, what do we have to do to get more interest? And, you know, I just said that it's time to take the shackles off, like, the players. And I think players can still be respectful and team-oriented, but the conservative nature of the sport has to change. People want to see something different. And you watched that party in Nashville last year, and you watched this party in Vegas throughout the playoffs and last night. And even hardcore hockey fans, they want something fresh. And we're giving it to them, and they're responding. And that says to me that we have to start doing this all around the league. You know, you should know from here on in, when you go to a game in, say, Vancouver, you are going to a hockey game Vancouver style. I mean, I don't know what that is. I don't live there. You guys know, especially you, Rintoul, you've been there for a long time. You guys know what that is. But I think what the league should be looking at is, okay, when I go to a game in Vancouver, this is going to be my experience. When I go to a game in Carolina, this is going to be my experience. Because Nashville and Vegas, like, you have to be good, but they have caught hold of an identity. And people from elsewhere, they want to go there. And I think we have to start capturing that everywhere.
Totally agree with you, Elliot. And I think there are some markets that have done that, and some of those are traditional markets. Montreal is like that, but they have the history.
Yes, I think Montreal is a great example, yes.
And not everybody has that history. So play to your strengths. Find what makes you unique and make it that tailor-made experience. You're absolutely right. Elliot Friedman joining us here on Sportsnet 650.
By the way, Rintoul, did you rip my tan?
No, I said it came so quickly, man.
Yes, he did. He
I was
it.
So I impressed with how quickly.
I got people telling me that Rintoul is making fun of my tan.
Well, the first thing I see on the screen last night is a guy who looks like he's been in Vegas for a month instead of 2 days. I was just impressed, man. It was jealousy. You've seen the pigment.
Just because you go right from pallid to burnt.
Exactly.
Okay? Don't be jealous.
You know exactly where this is coming from, Elliot. It wasn't me admonishing you in any way.
I thought it was malicious, but that was just me.
Walker took the day off. Don't listen to him. He didn't listen to any part of the show yesterday. Elliot, I don't know how many words there were in last week's 31 Thoughts, but I know there were six that mattered to Vancouver Canucks fans. Stealth team for Noah Hanifin, Vancouver. What would the ask be?
You know, I don't know the answer to that exactly, but I do know that Vancouver's interested, and I've been told that, like, they're not, it's not like, put it this way, I think we've got all these teams calling Carolina about their guys because the owner came out and he basically said everyone's available except Aho and Nechash. And, you know, I think everybody's calling him, and I have a theory on what the owner's up to, and my theory is that he is new, and you know, he didn't have a great relationship with his former GM, obviously. That's why Ron Francis isn't there anymore. So I think what he is trying to do is try to determine the value of his players so he knows. I don't think everybody's getting traded, but I think some will be. And I think he's trying to determine what players have what value and make his decisions from there. You know, we've all heard the Skinner rumors. Falk's name has been out there before. I hear the two guys that don't get as much attention, who have a lot of interest behind them, are A, Hanifin, and B, Elias Lindholm. So I think that's what's going on there. I believe that the Canucks have shown interest in Hanifin, and I believe that whatever they've talked about, the Hurricanes haven't discounted it. Look, I know this is going to go bananas, so I'm just going to say this is my guess. My guess is it involves the 7th overall pick, but I don't know that for sure.
I was going to ask, with a team in a rebuild, and I know it's about evaluation of it's this player and projections, but, okay, you're a young team, you're looking to rebuild, first-round picks, especially top 10 picks, are gold. So how should an organization, do you think, weigh, all right, here's 7th overall, we have this player we like, but there's a guy like Noah Hanifin,
who is 21
and 3 years into the league, like, it saves you time, doesn't it?
Well, I would look at it this way. Number one, I would want to know that I can sign Hanifin.
Okay.
That's the number one thing I want to know. I would want the opportunity to talk to him. Like, you know, Hanifin's is a restricted free agent. He has to be signed to an extension. If I'm the Canucks, I want to know what he's looking at. He changed agents last year. I believe he went from Rick Curran to Pat Brisson. So I would want the opportunity to speak to Brisson and say, you know, what are we talking about here? If I'm giving up the 7th overall pick for him, I at least want the opportunity to talk to the player and the agent.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Noah Hanifin, barring an injury, he's going to play in the NHL for a long time. This is a bet I would consider taking if I was the Canucks. If you take a look at drafting, and there's a lot of research being done into drafting, and you know, a lot of it used to be public. You've got some guys from Vancouver, Weisbach and Matheson, who did some research into it. That I think there's a lot more been done privately since that's been public. If you take a look at the way the draft works, it's been shown that after the third pick, the value of a draft pick really drops. You know, ones are really valuable. You have the odd miss, but most of them are hits. Twos are pretty valuable. And then threes are pretty good. And then it starts to drop. Then you start to see more misses. if I knew what I know about Noah Hanifin, and I believe he's going to play for a long time, and I believe he will, barring injuries, I think that if that's what Vancouver is going to have to give up, I would be seriously considering it. But I would have to know that I can sign the guy. And that's going to be a big question. Like, if you're talking about a guy who says, no, I want a two-year bridge deal, I don't know if I'm gambling, you know, the number seven pick on that. But if you have a guy here that's willing to take term, I'll tell you this, I'm probably doing it.
Elliot, just like Vancouver isn't the only team that would be interested in Noah Hanifin, Noah Hanifin is not the only defenseman the Vancouver Canucks would be interested in acquiring. We all know the problems on the back end. How active are you hearing the Canucks have been on the phone lines here recently?
Well, I think they're very active. I think everybody's very active. You know, like, I had, you know, the one thing about this year is, this time of year is, it's good for reporters. And the reason it's good for reporters is because 95% of the league is not playing. So all you have to do is sit around and gossip. So some stuff gets out. You know, I just think that at this time of year, everybody's talking. Everybody's figuring out who's out there. And also, don't forget, we've had one, as you guys know, prominent free agent sign in Evander Kane. So now there's a market reset, and what does that do to everything? I would suspect they're being very active. You know, I think they're being very active. Obviously, if they're in the middle of that Hanifin conversation, they're really active. But I would bet that they have their hands in a lot of different things.
We and we've seen players, and you know, we admonish teams for wasting the entry level deals of say McDavid or you know, if the Leafs don't win around next year, there's Austin Matthews who's through his cheap years. We saw the Hawks win kind of because they had Taves and Kane for cheap. Do we, and this is kind of back to the Hanifin thing, because you're right, they're going to have to pay him, and they'd love to pay him. We don't feel the same way about defensemen, do we? Like, we don't see opening three-year defensemen helping get teams over the top, generally.
No, you know what? I'd have to go back and do a lot of the research. I don't know a lot of that off the top of my head. Like, Walker, have you looked into this?
No. It was just thinking about the Hanifin thing, saying, okay, yeah, you get, he's only 21, you're getting that 3 years experience, but you got to pay him. And I was thinking, but that's not a bad thing for a defenseman, right?
If you're paying him, that means he's good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you look at Columbus, they're going to be paying Werenski. They're not going to be complaining about that.
Right, but we don't
and he's the same draft.
But we don't
if you look at Philadelphia, they're going to be paying Provorov, same draft, and they're not going to be complaining about that. I think the biggest question is, I think about Hanifin is, a lot of us haven't seen him. Mm-hmm. You know, Columbus, because they've been at the top of the league a lot, we see Werenski. He's got a prominent role on that team. He and Jones are the number one defensive pair. He gets a lot of power play time. Basically, they build their offense around those two guys. And so we all know who he is. You look at Provorov, you know, if you watch Philly last year in the first round against Pittsburgh, they were really good. He was really good. He was, you know, one of Philly's best players. And you're sitting there and you're saying, wow, like, you know, you got a couple of good players here. Carolina, you know, they're not the most watched team in Canada. They haven't been in the playoffs. You know, if you do watch their defense, a lot of the attention goes to Slavin and Pesci. You know, he doesn't – I think that he's still a bit of an unknown. Now, that doesn't mean that he isn't good, because I think he is good. But the one thing I would be excited to see is if he ended up in Vancouver, if you plopped him down into a big role, I think he'd really embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's been a little bit under the radar, and I'd be really curious. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with him still because he's not seen as much. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of teams that like him. And if you guys get him, that's a coup for you guys, I think.
Do you have thoughts on the Tom Wilson hit from yesterday? We're going to get into it ourselves, but what's your take on what you saw?
I didn't like it, but if you look at the NHL, like I do think Wilson, like there were a lot of people who thought the three-gamer was not a dirty hit.
Right.
You would be surprised at how many players I heard from who said that they did not think that was an illegal hit, and they just knew that he got suspended because people think he's completely disrespectful and it was too many hits in a row.
And I would share that in NHL history,
that hit was not suspendable. He should have had a major. They should have given him they could have given him a minor or they could have given him a major, but because they missed the call, it's an issue. Now, I can tell you, he's going to be under the microscope tomorrow night in game two. Like, he's not going to be able to breathe in anyone the wrong way. But I think the Capitals and the Golden Knights with David Perron are both very grateful, or should be very grateful, that they're not playing games without those guys. The NHL gave those teams a break.
He is Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts, and 31 Thoughts, the podcast, brought to you by the all-new 2018 GMC Terrain. Of course, Hockey Night in Canada, Game 2, right here on Sportsnet 650 tomorrow. Thank you. I will admonish Rintoul's lack of tan before the end of the show.
Rintoul, I got
your back.
Those kind of cheap shots from Walker because the guy's got no soul. Like, you're supposed to be the good guy of this pair.
Elliot, you're talking about me getting radioed now. You talk about you getting radioed. You say something, it blows up into something else. You're doing that to me right now. Here I was talking about how glorious your tan was yesterday when it came on my screen here in studio, and you're taking it exactly the wrong way, my friend.
You talk about getting radio. Just wait till these Hannafin rumors start flying around the internet, because you you really pulled the pin on this grenade. We thank you for the content.
All right, boys. All right. Have a good week.
See you later.
Thanks, Elliot.